We can get so bogged down at work at times, we can get so focused on the next thing that we're trying to achieve, and we need to remind ourselves that it all starts with those little smiley faces.
This is the In-House Podcast with Murray Henderson and Jim Webster.
Hello and welcome to the In-House Podcast with me, Murray Henderson.
And Jim Webster. And today we're with Ewan Proctor Mason, who's one of our associates in the studio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Ewan, today's podcast is focused around the question, Dad, are you an architect? So let's start off with, are you a dad?
I can confirm I'm both a dad and an architect.
Ewan, when and where did you find out you were going to be a dad?
So I suppose this happened twice differently. So the first time, both were IVF. So we knew probably earlier than most people know when you're trying to have a child that we're on the route to success. First time round was fairly straightforward. Second time was just at the start of COVID. So a week into lockdown, we found out we're pregnant with second child. Unknown that it was going to be children at that point. And for the duration of that one, nobody saw Lorraine while she was pregnant because we're in lockdown in the house for the 9 months.
Bizarre.
So two very different experiences.
And you very openly there jumped straight in to talk about IVF. Do you find that that's a bit of a taboo subject at times in society?
Like it's a taboo subject. A lot of people don't like to talk about it or bring it up. I think it's always best to talk about these things and make them more normal to folk because the more you speak to people, the more you realise more people have been through it themselves. And, you know, open chat always helps.
Now, you find yourself in that wonderful position where you weren't sure you were going to be able to have one, and now all of a sudden you have three.
Indeed.
So I can imagine that might have been quite a shock.
Certainly numbers two and three coming at the same time as twins was a shock, not something that we'd planned for, in the sense that we're definitely having a second child. And we've been blessed with second and third at the same time.
Yeah, I would say you definitely are blessed because having known you for so long, probably now in 20 years now, which is frightening, you've not had your health problems to seek. And if I'm allowed to say, you had a long battle with cancer, which you came through. And then just to see you with three children is just phenomenal.
Aye. So first of all, the fact that I'm here is phenomenal. And then to add three children and a wife to that is a pretty good going.
So Ewan, obviously, as we've talked about there, the joy of being able to have a child is quite unique. The challenge, however, as a dad, is often that there's a lot of focus on mums and babies and mums going back to work and having their kids. What's your experience being a dad and being at work and trying to balance how much you want to spend time at home versus how much time there actually is?
It's a tough balancing act at times, as you probably know yourself. It's like you want to be the best dad and the best architect. You want to be the best at everything you do. And you want to make sure that the two of them don't impact on each other. And being a parent obviously has certain times where, kind of at very short notice, there are things you need to do. If a child isn't well, and else equally in work, in the line of work that we do, there's always those times where there's deadlines. You know, the normal 9-to-5 doesn't always work for us as a profession. And trying to manage that with being present at home is challenging at times, but made easier by certain things about how we work and how technology is involved.
I feel that myself, yourself, others like us, in today's day and age, as being a parent or post-COVID, we've probably benefited from what was such a horrible experience for everybody, in that working practices have generally changed for the better in many regards. I think back to when my father would have been at work and having to work every hour available to him. There wasn't flexible work and hybrid work, and there wasn't just the general understanding around flexibility to come in a little bit later, leave a little bit early, deal with appointments or whatever. Do you think that's had a like COVID's actually had a really positive impact for us as dads?
I think so. It gives you options more than anything else. It allows you to tackle things in different ways. And I think other people are more accepting of that as well. So it's not just, you know, a couple of individuals have that ability. It's open to most people now, and people will accept that you're maybe working from home or joining a meeting via Teams call, it just opens up your options and makes things a bit more flexible.
So on the darkest of days, when projects as challenging as they possibly can be come around, I certainly know that the one thing that helps that is the going home and the getting a little bit of a cuddle or a smile or a little bit of nonsense. What is it that kids do for you to balance out what can often be a really quite high-pressure job?
I suppose you get home and everyone's waiting at the window with big smiles and ready for a cuddle, and no matter kind of how tough your day's been, that initial reaction of going in the door and there's people welcoming you and they're happy to see you is the warming part of it.
But they are happy to see you.
And for those first few minutes at least.
Because I know sometimes when you open the door of the office, we don't necessarily go, oh yes, there's Ewan.
Not always.
Murray, you may not, I always do.
Oh, do you?
But what is nice is when Ewan brings in his son, he's going to be collected by his mum. He comes in, he sits and draws, or he plays with Lego. I think that's what's nice about having the studio, is that anybody can come in anytime and enjoy it and just kind of take part. And I know when you bring your boys in, it's utter chaos, but it's nice chaos. It's great.
Yeah, well, I think that's another thing that's changed in working practices and the context of working life is many, many years ago, the idea of me as a child being taken into my parents' working environment would have been absolutely frowned upon. But I suppose we quite encourage it, and getting to know people and their families and bring your whole self to work. Now, Rory obviously was in recently and was drawn away, and he can tell us about what his day is going to involve, etc. And everybody in the team gets something from that. What do you take from those little experiences?
Yeah, it's really just nice to see the confidence that he has in coming in and talking to people in the studio, both in terms of his confidence, and it just shows how warm and open everyone is in the studio that he's happy to do that. And it's generally quite calm because it has just been Rory so far that's come in. I do say if all three of them come in at the same time, it would be a bit different. That's when the chaos would start.
Just so we don't get ourselves into trouble here in what is a very politically correct society we live in these days, as I giggle away to myself, we should make sure we recognise completely the role that our mums play in the lives of our children. And I think one of the things I find interesting as a dad at work is that there is a default position, certain default positions that are upheld day in, day out, week in, week out. And they're probably upheld without even us talking about them sometimes. Are there certain things in your day-to-day, week-to-week that you as a dad just fundamentally are in charge of, you do in balancing work versus, because your wife's obviously in our industry also, so there must be some crossovers at times?
There's definitely crossovers. We try to manage our calendars around each other. I would say I rely more on Lorraine, my wife, than she relies on me in that regard. When you talk about default positions, like, things have equaled a bit in terms of dads being more involved in the day-to-day, but certainly in our household, Lorraine picks up a bit more of that than I do. She works a three-day week, and therefore is about for two of those days and picking up more of the day-to-day things that need done around the house. That allows me a bit more time and focusing on different aspects of work. And then come the evenings, you know, where we try to find a bit of time to sit down together.
Doesn't always happen, does it?
Doesn't always happen. By the time you get in, the chaos of arriving home, dinners, baths, bedtimes.
Can't wait till they're 18, get them out.
You know, how do you deal with the sleep? Because one thing I've noticed is that as the children have got older, you are seem a little bit less tired.
Oh, that is the case. So with one child, that was manageable. When the twins came along, that was definitely a challenge, particularly starting off in COVID. We're in quite a tight deadline as well for one of our projects at that point. And it was a lot of hours and not a lot of sleep between children and work. I don't know if I should really say this, but there was one occasion, as in a meeting with a client on Teams, and towards the end of the meeting I was thinking, I'm really struggling here, feeling pretty tired, just see it out. The next thing I knew, I woke up with my forehead on my keyboard. So I looked up, the meeting had finished. I thought, oh, it's a disaster. I've fallen asleep in a meeting in front of a client. Thankfully, apparently I didn't. I was awake till the end of the meeting, although I've got no recollection of the last 2 minutes of it.
I think I was in the same meeting. It was pretty dull.
For some meetings, I think we probably always we could just have a sleep in, so I wouldn't worry about it. We're still that job has successfully been brought to a close, so nothing came of that event. You and you're fine. We're coming up to a pretty important time of the year. Now, as dads, I think there's also that part of us that understands that there's also support mechanisms round about us for in context of day to day childcare, taking kids to and from, almost running a taxi service. We're coming up to Christmas time, and it's time where we also get a chance to thank all of those people. What does Christmas look like for you and for kids, and how special a time of year is that for you?
Yeah, it's just like getting everyone around the house, you know, enjoying some time in together, uninterrupted by anything else. We are fortunate in our industry that everything kind of closes down for a couple of weeks over Christmas, and it's just that opportunity to recharge and spend time with the family, get the extended family round, see all the kids play with their cousins that they maybe haven't seen in a little while. It's all that.
Do you wear the penny?
Always.
So you are head chef?
Head chef for Christmas. The last couple of years we've done that. I quite enjoy it.
And given the way that you operate and you work on projects in the studio and you have your lists, because you're probably one of the most thorough, considered colleagues that Jim and I have worked with over the years.
And everyone will, I think.
How many spreadsheets do you actually have to manage your Christmas day?
I think Christmas is probably down to three spreadsheets. One for the presents, one for the food, maybe two for presents, one for the kids, one for everyone else.
Ewan, what would surprise you the most about becoming a father? And is there anything that's changed fundamentally in you?
The thing that's fundamentally changed, I've always been pretty driven and always trying to do the best that I've wanted to achieve. I think trying to make sure that I carve out time for all the different aspects of life has certainly been one. So rather than getting kind of lost in one aspect, it's trying to make sure that in any given day you always have time to stop one aspect and enjoy the time with the family or move on to whatever other project's taken up.
Also, you're very good at your time management, where our profession, time can disappear and people can spend hours and hours in the studio, which is something we don't encourage. But you're very disciplined in terms of coming to the end of the day, you go home, and it must be lovely just to go home and see your kids, see your wife.
It's something that I've tried very hard to do, specifically since the twins were born, and making sure that I'm away on time. As we said before, there's always times where there's a bit of crunch or deadline, and rather than stay an extra hour in the studio, I'll try to get home, enjoy that kind of bedtime and run around with the kids. And then through the flexibility of remote working, you know, that's when you try and just pick up any last wee bits of the day that were lingering that you couldn't quite catch.
And you talk about the twins. Are they quite similar?
Complete opposites in everything that they do and say. Two very different personalities. And I mean, across all three children, Ruri, Stella and Felix, each of them are very individual in terms of how they approach things, the things they enjoy. Completely different little people, which is wonderful to see.
And any other star spreadsheet makers in the making?
Not as yet. None of them have been introduced to the wonders of Excel as yet. However, Lego's a favourite across all three.
We should remind people that both yourself and wife are in creative industries and you're not entirely reliant in life on Excel. Are there any kind of shining lights in the three kids that we can see the artistic skills, the creative thinking, anyone get up to any particular mischief that shows some real endeavour in creative thinking?
Stella loves her stickers. We find them everywhere. Felix just loves a scribble and to get the messy paints out. And Rui's probably a little bit more considered, being a wee bit older, being a bit more fine with his detail with the pens. But they've all got their own styles.
Do you wish you could just get the pen out and sketch a bit more yourself?
Always.
Do you feel that sometimes actually, I mean, we've joked around Excel and we've joked around the pressures of working in our industry, but I think one of the hardest things about being an architect whilst being a dad is that one of the things about our profession is that it's lots of fun we get to create. But a lot of our projects become so focused on programme and time and cost and everything else that comes along with that, we lose some of the joy at times. And I certainly benefit from going home and seeing the kids with their colouring pens, and they're reminding me of the joy I have with a pen and a bit of tracing paper. How do we encourage architect dads to keep doing that more and not getting dragged into the mire?
It's always a challenge in our projects to retaining the fun and the creative side when, you know, people are pushing for programme and deadlines and specific details that have to get worked through. I think what I quite enjoy is, I've always quite enjoyed sketching, but don't always find the time for it. And although it's not practising on buildings, it's quite fun to go home and be asked to draw Captain Barnacles, for instance, or someone else. You know, these little kind of challenges that are fun with the kids and getting involved with them.
Do we need to have more play in the studio?
I would think so.
You instigated Lego in the studios. We obviously, we make models as part of our design process, but it was yourself that brought Lego into the mix, and we started making some tested models from for early ideas through Lego. I think it's something you like to do at home. It's
something we do a fair bit of at home. We'll enjoy just getting the big bag of Lego out on the floor and seeing what everyone builds.
I've recently been asked to look at, see if Santa will bring my youngest a Harry Potter Hogwarts castle, until I saw the price of it, which did make me think for a 4-year-old building all those little pieces might be a challenge, and I'll end up spending most of the time doing it and probably not want to dismantle it once it's built, because it's pretty big and I don't know where I would put it.
Nothing stays together for long in our house, so after it's built, usually kind of gets dismantled fairly quickly and ends up in the big bag.
That's good. I like that. Mixing as opposed to just individual wee models.
I made a Lego birthday card for Ruri recently, and it really annoyed me to have to glue pieces together to get it on the card. It's sacrilege.
Moving forward, if we're thinking about, hopefully you'll not be the last dad that house employ, there will be others to follow. Are there any key bits of advice, or if we were looking at how we structure our approach to working practices moving forward, are there bits of advice you would give us or give people that are in the industry or dads just at work generally, what your thoughts would be?
So there's a few things. One is kind of making sure that you take the time away from work, so carving out special moments. So the joy of work is that it pays you, as well as being able to create things and using that to enjoy special times with your family. Then there's relying on team. We've got a strong team in the studio, and that ability to step away, to go home, spend a bit of time with the family, or get called out for a school pickup, you know, relying on the team are going to do what needs done in the absence of any one person. Aye, having a strong team around you.
Are there any words of wisdom you could give to dads to be, those guys that are sitting panicking right now about when their last night out is before they go into the danger zone of the 2 or 3 weeks before birth, or haven't yet picked up a paintbrush looking at the nursery? Are there any bits of advice you would give to those dads?
So even before that, before you've really committed to being a dad, I'd just say don't wait. I think there's kind of reliance I see amongst my own friends and everyone else as well, of waiting until you've got the right house or enough money or the right job, or wait until it feels like the right time. But I don't think there ever is really a right time to go for it. It's been a wonderful experience, albeit challenging at times. I'd say just go for it. Don't wait.
Probably the best bit of advice, in all honesty, is don't wait. Go and enjoy yourself and just let things happen, but let them be what they are. Sometimes work can blur what is the moments that you mentioned there, the excitement you see in your kids' faces. We had a little trip over to Lapland, which reminded me of being a child, walking in to see Santa. Actually, I got a little bit weak at the knees, if I'm being honest, which was quite interesting for me, and I was wondering why I didn't have my letter, because I did write on one myself. But I think we can get so bogged down at work at times, we can get so focused on the next thing that we're trying to achieve, and we need to remind ourselves that it all starts with those little smiley faces and those moments that you mentioned. What would you say your ambition, your aim is as both dad and architect, and the balance of that moving forward?
So it's just trying to do your best at each without one negatively impacting the other. It's about finding that balance.
Ewan, thanks for your time with us.
And your complete honesty in terms of how you juggle being a dad and an architect.
And thanks from Jim and I for all your efforts, because your commitment to both is quite clear in your day-to-day approach to life. Thanks again for being with us today. Thank you to everybody that's listened. We would like to both wish you a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy time with your loved ones. This has been the In-House Podcast. If you would like to listen to any of our other episodes, you'll find them at house-collective.com.